Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. Hey, what's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm doing all right. You know, busy week in sports. You know what we do. We talk sports, entertainment, everything else. You know, we're going to talk about the MLB trading deadline, Mets' big acquisition of Jonas Cespedes. We'll talk about you know, that and how the Mets are doing so far as we just enter August, I should say. And we'll also talk about the Yankees and how they're doing, and you know, also talk about other important things that are going on in the world of sports, the Deflategate, and, of course, what's going on in the latest of WWE. And, of course, folks, you know the number is, of course, 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk any of these topics and more. Nothing's off limits. And, thank you for supporting the show all these years. And with that, before we get down to business, the MLB trading deadline and what's going on in the world of sports, we got to be, serious and talk about the shocking, untimely passing of the legend, the WWE Hall of Famer, Hot Rod Roddy Piper, who passed away. Shockingly, I found out about the news on Friday, and, very shocking. It's right up there with, Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, passing away two months ago in June. So, I mean, it's very heartbreaking, to see, fan favorites, fans grew up watching, entertained them, and, they pass away. Very shocking.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Roddy Piper was one of the top villains of all time in the WWE/WWF, as it was known back in the day. And he's most known for his segment, Piper's Pit,
mm-hmm.
where he had many great moments, hitting Jimmy Snooker, Junior Fly Snooker with a coconut,
mm-hmm.
smashing a record over Lou Albano's head, or extinguishing Robert Downey's Morton Downey, sorry, cigarette. He's had some great moments.
Yeah, no doubt. And
he was a great wrestler. He never held the world title, surprisingly.
Yeah, I know. And that's how great the wrestlers back in the days. I mean, you pay attention. You're like, oh, when is this guy ever going to win a championship? You know what I mean? But back in the days, you just sat and, you enjoyed the ride. You just was hoping that your guy would get the title. But there wasn't like this big emphasis of people getting the title because the title was so elusive. Hogan had the title, Savage had the title a few times. Ultimate Warrior had it once. The legendary guys, they rarely had it, So it wasn't really all the titles were prestigious. So, you never really paid attention. Look at all the great guys who didn't win a heavyweight title, with the WWE or especially with WWE. Roddy Piper, Jake the Snake Roberts, Scott Hall. Slash Razor Ramon. Mr. Perfect. Junkyard Dog. I mean, there were so many legendary wrestlers during that era that didn't hold a title. And, it just proved that those guys, they didn't need a title to get over. They were already over with the fans. But it would have been nice to see those guys. Oh, even Jerry the King Lawler. I mean, he won AWA, but he never won, the WWE title. He had a shot a few years ago with that feud with Miz.
Yeah.
But, it just shows you that, I think John Cena said it a few days ago. The title, the title doesn't make the man. The man makes the title.
Yeah.
So, these legendary guys, they really entertained the fans, even though they never had the title. Even like the Million Dollar Man, he never won the title too, but in the hearts of the fans, those guys were, heavyweight champions.
Yeah.
And, Roddy Piper, like Dusty Rhodes and, many of the legendary wrestlers that passed away, they'll definitely be missed. And, their memories, live on, in the WWE Network, DVDs, and, the personal memories that the fans have.
For real.
They'll definitely be missed.
Rest in peace, Piper.
Yeah, definitely rest in peace. One of his famous lines is, just when you think you have all the answers, he changes the question. So,
yeah.
There'll never be another Roddy Piper. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
And, sticking with the entertainment news, before I go back, you know, to sports, current sports, Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown's only daughter, Bobby Christina, she passed away recently, you know, after battling about six months, you know, after the incident, you know, where she was in a coma, she passed away. So, you know, rest in peace to her as well.
Yeah, rest in peace.
But, you know, with that in mind, let's talk about what's going on in sports. And, you know, the Mets, they've been doing well, you know, lately. They had a game where they were leading, 7-1. They blew that game. You know, they had a rain delay. They had like a 4-hour rain delay. No, actually, it was a 44-minute one with the Mets. The Mets were leading. I mean, yeah, the Mets were leading. They went into a 44-minute rain delay. I think it was the Nationals, if my memory serves me right. It was the Padres, actually. It was just a few days ago. The Mets, I think it was Thursday, if my memory serves me right, too. But in any case, the Mets were leading. It was 7-5. They went to a 44-minute rain delay. They came back. Familia, he blew the save. Gave up a 3-run home run to Upton. Mets were trailing 8-7. They going into like a 3-hour rain delay, and basically Mets fell to the Padres 2 out of 3. And a lot of Mets fans were thinking, the baseball season's basically over. I think it was Wednesday. But in any case, Wilmer Flores was being rumored to being in trades, and he heard that he was going to be traded on Wednesday. Yes, it was Wednesday. He heard during the game that he was getting traded, so the Mets fans were showing him love, cheering for him, and he grounded out and he was crying. You know, he was emotional, and you never saw that side of Wilmer Flores. You know, me being a Mets fan, I've been following the guy, for many years. You know, the guy has been in the system since he was 16, since he was drafted. He's like 23 right now, but this guy's been in the organization forever. This is the only organization he knows.
Yeah.
So he was really emotional about being traded, because the rumor was him and Zach Wheeler were going to be traded for Carlos Gomez, the former Mets. And, he was getting emotional because the fans were, he found out through the fans that he was going to get traded. So he was talking to Terry, and Terry Collins, the Mets manager, he didn't know what was going on. He was telling it was there was no trade and stuff like that. But Wilmer Flores was really he was really emotional, and he showed the human side of the baseball player. Because, as fans, the baseball players, are usually, a lot of the play, there's some players that fans really, latch on to, like connect with. Like guys who are very passionate, Nick Swisher or I'm trying to think of hard-nosed players. Derek Jeter when he was there,
Yeah.
Guys who you see, who you could clearly see, they have a passion for the game. They play with their hearts out, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not just picking up money. They really care about trying to make their team win.
Exactly.
Wilmer Flores is usually a stoic character. So to see him breaking down and crying, it was very, you know, it was very surprising and very, you know, he let his guard down. You know, he wasn't trying to, but, you know, it was just the emotion of being, you know, possibly traded. And, you know, as a result of that, you know, the Mets fans really, you know, got behind them. And, you know, ultimately the Carlos Gomez trade didn't go through, and he did get traded to the Astros, Thursday. So Mets was, you know, after that horrible loss, and Familia, the closer, blowing a bunch of saves, you know, the Mets season was, you know, really in jeopardy. You know, there were a few games behind the Nationals, up until that point, 3 games. So Sandy Alderson surprised the baseball world and acquired Yoenis Cespedes from the Tigers, where the rumored Mets didn't have interest in him, you know, despite his talent, because, you know, he would be essentially a rental player because he's going to be a free agent after this year.
Yeah.
So whether the rumor was true that he wasn't really interested in at first, or he changed his mind and you know, went for it, you know, I got to applaud Sandy Alderson. You know, to me, he won this MLB trading deadline because, you know, he definitely addressed the needs. You know, he first traded for Kelly Johnson and Juan Uribe, both veterans, and especially Uribe, who's won 2 titles with the Giants and White Sox in his career. You know, you got 2 guys who are veteran guys who've been in the postseason and have that experience, gamers, you know, who play multiple positions and stuff like that. And then I'm trying to think. Then they got Tyler Clippard, who you know, obviously as a Yankee fan. Yep. As a Yankee fan, you're very familiar with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he pitched for the Nationals for 7 years after his, you know, his Yankee debut. And, Mets acquired him from Oakland. And now Mets on Friday night, just before the trading deadline, 8 p.m., they made the deal. And now the Mets have a potent offense, potentially. Duda hitting, I mean, coming into today, let me tell you this. His last 8 hits before the game-winning double tonight was all home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And, he now has 20 home runs because he had another 2-home run game today. And out of his 8-home run stretch last month, he had a 3-home run game, which was just, I think, 2 weeks after Nieuwenhuis had a 3-home run game, both at Citi Field, which prior to this year never happened. So, you know, now the Mets are finally playing good. You know, other than that horrible game where they blew, that rain delay game where they blew a 7-run lead, the Mets have been playing better. You know, they did lose to the Padres, which earlier that week, which, you know, really made them, you know, look like, you know, this might be the start of their tailspin. But now they've these first 2 games against the Nationals, they've beat the Nationals. Matt Harvey Friday night, he pitched well, but in the 8th inning, he ran out of gas and gave up the game time hit. And by the way, it was Flores who knocked in the run, because in the 1st inning, Flores made a great diving catch to rob somebody of a hit. I can't remember. It might have been for the 2nd out, and the fans gave him a standing ovation. You would have thought it was Game 7 of the World Series. So, yeah, from that moment, you were like, wow, the Mets, you know, ever since that game when he cried, this guy is the new Mets fan favorite right now. So he basically knocked in, the first run of the game, gave the Mets a 1-0 lead. The Mets were cheering him all night long, like as if he was the World Series MVP, and it was a beautiful moment, because, like I said, up until that moment when he was, he didn't want to be traded, he revealed he was crying. You never saw that side of Flores. Flores was always a stoic character, So it was refreshing to see and to catapult his amazing night, the Wilmer Flores night. He hits the walk-off home run in the 12th, his first career walk-off home run, the first walk-off home run for the Mets this season, and he set the Mets fans home happy that day.
Yeah, definitely. Mets have had a good week, with the exception of that Padre loss this last week. And getting Cespedes, they need that big bat in the lineup. It's definitely going to help them. And you even got Mets fans like Jerry Seinfeld tweeting Cespedes for the rest of us.
Yep.
In reference to the Seinfeld episode, Best of Us is the rest.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's Cespedes fever right now amongst Mets fans.
Oh, yeah. He made his debut today, batted third. He went 0-for-3, and then in the eighth, they intentionally walked him, which led to Duda knocking the game-winning double, which scored what proved to be the game winner in the eighth. And, now the Mets are going to play Sunday night baseball, ESPN. And hopefully the Mets are hoping to sweep the Nationals and tie for first place in the NL East division.
Interesting.
And, Mets had their best three pitchers on the mound. They had they had Harvey Friday night. They had DeGrom, who gave up two runs, in the first. He didn't have it, but he kept the guys in the game, only gave up the two first-inning runs. Duda hit the home run to make it 2-1 and then tie the game 2-2. And then Duda hits the game-winning double to clinch the win. And then Familia finally bounced back. And he saved
Familia.
Yep. Tonight. He finally got the save, his first save since the All-Star break. Before that, I think he blew like three or four consecutive saves. So, yeah, I mean, this is Mets, they have potential. They just, hopefully they can sweep the Nationals and get back on first place because with the Cespedes trade, the Mets have a legit shot to compete for the championship.
Yeah, it's certainly one of the contenders right now.
Oh, no doubt about that. And other major news in the MLB, Cole Hamels, after throwing his no-hitter with the Phillies in his last start, he pitched Saturday night at his first game as a Texas Ranger. And he got a no decision that game. And basically, the Giants defeated the Rangers 9-7 in extra innings. So Cole Hamels got a no decision in his first start. Johnny Cueto, he got traded to the Royals from the Reds.
The Royals looking good right now.
Yeah, they solidified their rotation. And David Price, he got traded to Toronto. But the shocking thing is that the Yankees, they didn't do any moves. And Yankees were saying they weren't going to do any moves. But, you thought it was a smokescreen because, the Yankees have always been historically to – pull them, especially, Cashman, he's always pulled rabbits out of, hats.
Okay.
So, but, he stand pat, apparently, you know, he didn't want to give up, you know, his prospects, you know, Seferino and Judge. You know, they wanted to hold on the fort, and apparently Seferino, he's going to make his debut very soon, I think, against the Red Sox. So what's your thoughts on that?
Yankees are pretty quiet. I mean, they did get outfielder Dustin Mackey from the Mariners, sent a Nick Chase for Jose Ramirez and Ramon Flores. But other than that, yeah, Yankees were pretty quiet during this trade deadline. I mean, I thought they needed another bat in the lineup. Maybe Ackley helps them a little bit. And Pineda is going to be out, you know, hasn't placed on the DL with a forearm strain. So they definitely needed another pitcher, I thought, in the starting rotation. But, I mean, maybe these pitching holds up. And they've been hitting like crazy, you know, since the All-Star break. They had 21 runs against the Texas Rangers earlier this week. So, I mean, they've been doing a good job hitting of late, hitting a lot of home runs, scoring a lot of runs. They won yesterday 13-6 by beating the White Sox. Today they lost 8-2. They couldn't do anything against John Banks. But Yankees still have 17 wins. You know, that's tied, I think, from the most wins since the All-Star break. So they're still playing good. They're still holding on to the AL East division by 5 games or so over the Orioles and Blue Jays. But, you know, if Pineda can't come back to help these guys, the Yankees definitely have to, you know, bring one of the guys from the minors to be in a starting rotation permanently. Because who knows if Pineda even returns, because he's been having this arm injury for the whole year, pretty much. So hopefully Pineda does come back and recovers from this strain. But if he doesn't, then, you know, he's got to do something.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, they're definitely going to have to try to keep an eye on the, you know, the waiver trade, you know.
Yeah.
Because after the training deadline, starting today until August 31st, there's going to be the waiver trade deadline. So Yankees are hoping they could get somebody that will pass through waivers and they can acquire somebody.
Yeah.
And it was weird. That was weird, but also Padres. Padres didn't do anything either. You know, Padres, they were rumored to trade, Justin Upton. And they held on to him.
Yeah.
The Rockies, they traded away Tulowitzki.
To the
Blue Jays. And as a result, Reyes, you know, my former favorite player, you know, when he was with the Mets, he got traded to Rockies, and that, you know, now he's gonna be with the Rockies. You know, he's gonna be, that pennant race he was in the AL East.
Now, well, Jose Reyes, best days are behind him.
Oh yeah, right, no doubt about that. Yeah.
He's pretty much a role player, pretty much right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's making $20-something million for the $22 million, I think, the next 2 years each, and you know, he's clearly not that type of player. And now he's in Rockies now. That should, you know, help him get more hits. You know that with that ballpark.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, Reyes isn't the dynamic player he used to be. You know, the base-stealing threat, you know, offensive, you know, guy anymore. He's not even great defensively anymore either, you know.
Yeah.
You know. But we'll see what happens with him and, you know, the rest of the trades that happen. But, quickly with the Flategate, Tom Brady, definitely he was defiant and saying that he didn't cheat, you know, he didn't deflate the balls, and he knew nothing about it. And now Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner, he retracted his statement about, you know, trusting the league. Now he's firmly behind, Tom Brady, and he said that he lost faith in, you know, inside, you know, the NFL to, you know, rule in favor of, you know, of the Patriots, and they're going to fight, you know, the 4-game suspension that Brady is currently expected to face. And what's your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, this decision has been upheld, so they can't do anything more. You know, it's been pretty much Tom Brady's going to have to serve the suspension now. And the Patriots are just going to have to find a way to win without him starting the season. You know, they've done it before. They did it with Matt Castle, you know, several years ago when Tom Brady got injured. So, I mean, they could still win without him. But, yeah, I mean, Tom Brady has to – he has to serve a suspension for what he did. You know, he deflated the ball, or had one of the Patriots guys deflate the ball, and he destroyed his cell phone afterwards. Yep. When the NFL wanted to see his cell phone records, you know.
Mhm. Yep.
He had his cell phone destroyed. So that tells you right there he's guilty.
Very fishy.
It is.
I mean, no doubt about it. Apparently, he presented the phone before the phone he had before the broken phone, and apparently he gave the other phone that he had after the phone, the broken phone, but he didn't give the phone, you know, that NFL wanted to see.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, the phone broke, you know, before, you know, the NFL had a chance to see the evidence. I mean, the possible alleged evidence of them cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, Tom Brady, you know, when you look at his record, when he retires eventually, I mean, he's still going to go down as arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks, if not the greatest. But, you know, the deflate thing, you know, the cheating thing, it just kind of, it leaves a mental asterisk, you know, because he's that good, man. He doesn't have to cheat.
Exactly.
You know, I don't, you know.
That's a lot of players. A lot of players just feel like sometimes they have to do things to cheat, even though they don't really need to.
It's kind of like, you know, A-Rod a few years ago with the PED caught for the second time, or now even Mejia. A few days after he served his suspension, his 80-game suspension, now he's caught again. It can't be an accident. Can't be an accident. You caught right after you just came, just a few days after you got, you served your suspension, and now he's going to be gone at 162 games. So his career is basically done.
Yep.
I mean, you can't count on him. You know, basically the same day when they got clipped, the Mets got clipped last year. I mean, not last year, last week, is when people found out about his what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now, I mean, we'll see what happens with the Patriots, you know, as they try to regroup. You know, they're a resilient team. I'm pretty sure they'll find a way to, hold on the fort until Brady comes back and, unfortunately, when the AFC East, as usual. But we'll see, you know. Hopefully the Jets, with their defense, you know, they'll be able to hold, you know, they'll be able to get some more wins this season, and hopefully Geno Smith will mature to the quarterback that hopefully Jets, you know, thought they were drafting. And speaking of the Jets, Sheldon Richardson got suspended recently for you know, for marijuana use. And then, not to mention, last month, he was caught again driving 143 miles per hour with a gun, allegedly with a gun inside his car, and like a 12-year-old kid in the car while the car smelled like weed. So, I mean,
wow, that's crazy.
I mean, this guy, he's a very talented defensive guy, but he, you know, he needs to chill with these stuff because it's going to end his young career too.
Yeah, that's insane.
It is. I mean, that story is crazy without even explanation, man. So hopefully they get his act together. And, of course, JPP, you know, Pierre Paul, you know, hopefully he could get his career back, you know, after severing his finger after the horrible 4th of July accident. So that's another thing we'll keep an eye on. But lastly, WWE, you know, they're definitely going to have a tribute for Piper tomorrow, which will be well-deserved, definitely worth watching. And it'll be interesting to see what's going to go on with the WWE title match, allegedly between Cena and Rollins, because, you know, Cena got his nose broken during the main event match on last week's Raw. So that's going to be interesting what's going to go on with that. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought, man, when I saw that, I was like, damn. Rollins just broke Cena's nose, and that could potentially, you know, prevent them from having a match, chamber versus chamber at SummerSlam. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Cena does come back and wrestle at SummerSlam, but right now it's not looking good, you know?
Yeah, I think he'll do it. I think he'll put a face mask on, you know, sort of like Cody Rhodes, the dashing Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
And wrestle to it. I think he'll wrestle, you know, until SummerSlam, you know, with the face mask. And then after, right after that WrestleMania match, not WrestleMania match, SummerSlam match. But then again, he did win the title, though. Most likely he'd win the title. So, yeah, that's a very interesting point. What would happen if he did win the title? But
yeah.
I assume he'd win the title. Maybe Sheamus will cash in. And then, you know, Cena will take a break and heal up, or get a rematch on Raw, you know, for the title. I guess maybe Rollins, and it'll be a triple threat rematch on Raw. And I guess Sheamus will retain it. And basically Cena will take a break to rehab his nose, and that'll be the end of that.
What if Cena can't make it to SummerSlam? Who will be Rollins' opponent?
That's a good question, because, you know, their top guys are taken. I mean, they got Reigns and Dean Ambrose in the tag team match against Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper. I don't know. That's a good question. Can't see anybody else, really, unless if someone's going to do double duty. One of those two guys are going to do double duty.
Right.
Cesaro would be a nice pick. But he's gonna most likely fight Kevin Owens,
or maybe Randy Orton. What about Randy Orton again?
Oh, you know what? That's a good thing. Randy Orton, I don't think he's fighting anybody.
Yeah.
Is he feuding with Sheamus? I'm not even sure. Randy Orton would be a perfect fit. I mean, that's a guy who, you know, who has title. You know, WWE has a lot of faith in. He'd be the perfect guy to fit in. I mean, Daniel Bryan is hurt, obviously. I would love to see them put the title on Ambrose, but I don't think they have faith in Ambrose or Cesaro yet to do that. So yeah, Randy Orton is a perfect choice, because that's what would be best for business, you know, because they love that guy. I mean, he obviously, Orton is more over than he ever been in his career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is a smart choice. And WWE right now is looking over their shoulder and saying, hey, how Macaulay's looking at our notes here. that totally sounds like something that WWE is going to do.
Yeah.
Because all the other faces, I can't picture them putting a title run on them, like R-Truth, Sandow. None of the faces are, you know, in WWE eyes right now are championship caliber guys. So that's a good pick. Problem solved. Randy Orton would be the guy to, you know, replace Cena if that happens.
Yeah, that's something that we're going to have to see.
Yeah, no doubt about
that. 2 weeks away from WrestleMania, or 3 weeks away.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So,
actually, WrestleMania, SummerSlam on that.
Oh, yeah, SummerSlam. SummerSlam is going to be awesome. And Sting is rumored to be returning too. But, apparently the match, the Wyatt match, might be a 6-man match. And the rumor is that Adam Rose will join the Wyatt family. But wait, I know you're like, what? But he will change his character to the character he had in NXT called Leo Kruger, which was like a spooky type of character, I mean, from what I've heard. So apparently if that does happen, he would join the group as the Leo Kruger character and not the Adam Rose character that we were all familiar with in WWE.
Oh.
But I think they should also have Bo Dallas join. I think that'd be great.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And apparently their sister tried out for WWE recently. If she joins, maybe they should make her be Sister Abigail. But
yeah,
if she does join, that'll be like maybe a year or two down the line. So that wouldn't be anything imminent if they do sign her. But do you have any last words you'd like to say?
Check out my show IMAX Saturdays at 11. Come out here, check out Sports with Legend. Maybe Sundays at midnight, maybe Sundays at 6.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be back at our regular time next Sunday. I apologize for the interview. I'm not able to